Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, I'm your host, Amit Kohli, and welcome to a special edition of the Crick Index podcast. Over the next hour or so, we are going to dig beneath the surface of the Srisant case, the ongoing refusal of the BCCI to let him play cricket again, the failure of the ICC to intervene, and his planned return to Scottish cricket and why it's being held up. Indeed, I'll be joined by the double World Cup winning Sri Srisant himself and Eddie Gibbs, director of Glenrothes Cricket Club, who is Srisant's UK associate assisting him with his return to cricket. But of course, our regular listeners will know him as the host of the Crick Index Scottish Weekly podcast. We also catch up with Dennis Friedman in Melbourne, who is the host of Australia's most popular cricket radio show, Can't Bowl, Can't Throw, and has wrote extensively about how the BCCI are being allowed to play a judge, jury and executioner in the case of Srisant. So let's get on with it, guys. Sri, good to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you very much. It's always great to be in the show.
Fantastic. Sri, it's been a year since we had you on last, where you won the High Court verdict. How have you been in the year? What have you been doing? What have you been up to? Because obviously the ban is still in place.
Yes, I've been. God's been kind. I've been quite busy with getting ready. In fact, I was preparing myself to play the first-class season for Kerala, but obviously, everybody knows I didn't get the ban lifted, so I'm still waiting. But then, on the other side, I did a couple of movies, I've got a baby boy now. I have a daughter last year, so now this year I have a baby boy. And family-wise, yes, superb. But the only thing which is missing is cricket.
Yeah, congratulations on the birth of your boy, which was it late last year?
Yes, it was November 23rd was the baby boy's birth. And after I spoke to you, I think I did contest in the elections as well. So, yeah.
How did that go, Sri? Are you planning to make a move in politics again, or do you think that was something?
All I wanted to do was, help the sports people. And try to send a message that you should never give up. And it was a great opportunity for me to make sure people like me or anybody should not go through what me and my family or my friends went through. So it was more like an effort to, with the help of central government, make some changes. And I was fortunate enough to make some changes, and I'm still with them. So 2019, there is elections, but my focus will be on playing the World Cup rather than the elections for the time being, because I'm just 33, I got easily 10 years of good cricket left in me.
And you still keep fit, following your sort of Twitter and Facebook and things. I take it you're still working out. You do a lot of strength and conditioning.
Yes. I'm blessed to have the basis MRFP's Academy and Dennis Lilly's School of Cricket, and Mr. T.A. Shekhar sir used to be the head coach then. So I was, I'm from Kerala, which. A lot of people know the most of the Olympians are from Kerala. So I was fortunate enough to be brought up in that way, playing a lot of different sports. So fitness for me, it's lifestyle. I don't do fitness for the sake of cricket or movies or anything, but I do it like a lifestyle. So it's always great to be fit.
And how is the movie career? Last time I spoke to you, you were in the Pooja Bhatt movie.
Yes.
And now do you have a new movie, Team 5, or has it been released, or is it being...
You won't believe it, just 5-10 minutes back, I got the message that the movie is releasing on the 17th of March. It's a Malayalam, Telugu, Tamil, it's a regional movie. And then I finished a movie with Zareen Khan, which is Aksar 2, another Bollywood flick, which will release in May. I still haven't got the date, but yeah, those are the two movies. And I've been listening to the scripts of other movies, but as we speak, you know, Eddie knows, everybody in the world knows I'm a cricketer, and I'm looking forward to get back on the sports field rather than anything else.
Indeed, but you enjoy the movie scene.
Yes, I totally enjoy the movie scene, but as the wise man says, you got to give your best shot in whatever you do, and do that with a lot of passion. That's what I did, you know, but as I again say, my heart is in the game. So when I did movies, yes, I enjoyed it. But something, if you really ask me at 3 a.m. what you want to do, I wouldn't mind coming, putting on my whites and playing cricket.
Indeed, cricket is your first passion, for definite. We all knew that from the way you played the game on the field. And you know, these things are now quite famous now, you know. People of certain generations are now telling their children to, like, you watch the YouTube videos of these kind of you know, the aggressive Srisanth, which is, it's not something that's known for Indian bowling, for mm-hmm. people who are sort of, you know, 35 plus. Mm-hmm. Maybe in the younger generation now we see these cricketers coming through, and you were one of the first to bring that kind of aggression to the game, which is what a lot of people comment on. We'll be speaking to Eddie soon enough, and but Eddie earlier on had a chance to catch up with Dennis Friedman, who I mentioned earlier is the host of the Can't Bowl, Can't Throw cricket show.
Yeah.
And so we'll be hearing from those guys very soon, and I do believe that Dennis has some very powerful views on these things. The other thing, Sri, I wanted to ask was about your video that appeared on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Of you bowling. So how did that all come about? Because as I understand it, the BCCI ban is still there, so you're not allowed to play any form of cricket. So how is it that you come to play this practice game?
I get to meet, you know, I have 7 clubs here, God's grace. I'm always involved with them. But the ground which I played is my own private ground, which I invested a long time back. You can see it's not a great ground to practice, but yeah, I managed to create a decent tough wicket, which has got a bit of bounce. It doesn't look green or fast, but yeah, it's, if you put your effort, it's a typical Indian wicket. It's a flat track. You know, even if it's a club cricket, it's very difficult to get him out. So you got to really work hard on that wicket. So this is the same wicket I used to practice even before the 2007 World Cup or 2011 World Cup, most of the series. So that's the same ground which I practiced. So there's nothing to do with the BCCI or any other association to do with. I can go there in the middle of the night and play because it's my own. So God's been kind on that side. So, and the team which I played was my own club side. I played a practice match because we had a 2-day game which finished in 1.5 days. We won outright. We got a very good side here. So it's the first division. It's the highest league here. So we were fortunate enough to defeat them in 1.5 days. Not even 1.5 days. In fact, 11 a.m. the game was over. So, you know, I had planned the day before, guys, if you can finish the match, you know, and give me some 3-4 hours, then I wouldn't mind playing a practice match. And we played a 40-over game. And I did well, quite well, in fact.
Did you any wickets to speak of, any good figures?
I got 2 for 32 in 9 overs.
Happy with that?
Yeah, I'm good. And I scored runs too. So, yeah, it's going good. It's going good. I mean, you know, I'm looking fit. And in fact, I'm bowling the best. I think I'm bowling much better than the way I used to play, and I'm much more in control, even with aggression. Obviously, with age comes maturity, and sometimes, as you said earlier about aggression and YouTube, I sometimes laugh at it. Sometimes when I watch it, I was like, what are you doing, man? So, I come from MR of Pace Academy, from Dennis Lilly's School of Cricket. So for me, Alan Donald used to be my favorite bowler. So only when I worked with Alan Donald in Warwickshire County, I came to realize how important it is to control your emotions and stuff. So from 2009, I think I've done extremely well on the aggression side, where I have focused much more on my performance rather than anything else. It was just because of obsession. So, yeah.
Sri, thank you very much. We'll come back to you in a second. And we're going to get thoughts with Eddie Gibbs in a minute about the very latest and where the case sits with the BCCI, ICC and Cricket Scotland. But before we speak to Eddie, we're going to catch up with Dennis Friedman, who I believe Eddie spoke to.
So I'm joined now by Dennis Friedman from Melbourne. Now, those of you who don't know, Dennis was one of the first people to write about Srisant's case when he was exonerated by the court in Delhi back in 2015. Hello, Dennis.
G'day, Eddie. How are you, mate?
I'm very well. So so you're someone that's publicly kind of come out and spoke about Srisant's case before and some of the rumblings behind what's gone on at the BCCI. Can you take us back 2 years to when you first wrote this piece that kind of went quite viral about Srisant, and kind of what motivated you to write it, and what were your thoughts, and have they changed any in the past 2 years, if you like, since you wrote it?
Yeah, it's a very interesting question. I guess I wrote the piece because I've been following corruption in cricket for some time. My interest probably sparked up. I read a book by Ed Hawkins. It's called Gambler, Bookie, Fixer, Spy. And he's just a guy that writes for one of the bookies in the UK and does odds on matches and does sort of match previews and offers his odds up. And but he was contacted by a whole lot of Indian bookies trying to get inside information and trying to understand why they should or shouldn't gamble on England. And he decided he'd go over to India and meet these bookies and find out how match fixing actually worked. And he wrote this book on it. And I encourage your listeners to go read it. Again, Ed Hawkins, Gambler, Bookie, Fixer, Spy. It's a ripper book. And so that's what sparked my interest. I sort of like all this Machiavellian, James Bondy type stuff. And I'm quite interested in that type of thing. And I'm also been very interested in sort of the shenanigans that have gone on with the BCCI over the journey, especially in recent times with Srinivasan and now Anurag Thakur getting called upon by the Supreme Court for perjury. And I've followed Mudgal and now Lota and the whole IPL scandal. And I've interviewed Lalit Modi about, Chris Cairns. And, I've just had a natural inkling to follow it. And the Srisant one always interests me because essentially, he was given a life ban by the BCCI on nothing more than them saying he will be banned. No evidence has ever been presented. And also, there's no real system there for rights of appeal or for any sort of natural justice. And when his charges got taken by the Delhi police into the Delhi courts and got thrown out in 2015, with the court using, I'm paraphrasing here, but essentially saying this is one of the most ridiculous cases I've ever seen. It's so far from even being a case. I don't know why they wasted their time. It got me to writing the piece to, I guess, it's more of a natural justice piece to sort of say, if you think Srisant's guilty of match fixing, then a couple of things are going through your mind. One, you think the BCCI is a better arbiter of justice than the court system, and that's scary in itself. And number two, he's done nothing more or less than other Indian heroes such as Kapil Dev or Sachin Tendulkar. So why are we going after this bloke? I mean, at the time too, I remember him coming and playing in Australia and as a young sort of raw quick bowler, and he was very different to the typical Indian fast bowler we used to see. He had a bit of spunk about him and used to get razzed up a bit and, used a bit of threatening body language and things like this, which was kind of Australian traits more than the typical Indian traits. And so we sort of naturally warmed him just because he had a bit of that hard edge about him. But I think what's happened to him through this journey, for any person that's looking at it objectively rather than subjectively, it has to be seen as a bit of a miscarriage of justice up until now. And I'm interested in the next steps. I know you've tried to get him to come and play in Scotland with your team, and he wasn't given a knock certificate by the BCCI, and it's just sort of getting out of control, I think.
Yeah, I mean, on that one in particular, I suppose the thing there, and I'd be interested in your views on this, is that the obviously the ICC are the governing body of cricket worldwide, and one of the things that's kind of in their regulations is that a player that's banned by any of their members is effectively banned worldwide without an NOC. Do you think it's a bit, you're talking about miscarriage of justice, do you think that's kind of been taken a step further here then, in the sense that the BCCI has issued a ban, it refuses to communicate with either the player or his representatives, and yet the ICC, as the global governing body of the game, would allow such a regulation to be upheld in the modern world. Is that, does that sort of smack as an extension of the original miscarriage of justice?
It's really interesting, you know. So I'm in Melbourne, and the biggest sport here in Australia is Australian rules football. And I remember in the mid-90s, a player by the name of Greg Williams, who was won the MVP award twice here in Australia, got suspended by the tribunal for punching somebody. And the AFL, the Australian Rules Football League, at that time had no appeal mechanism. And so he took them to court and won, not because he was not guilty, but because he had no right of appeal. And that set in train a whole lot of rule changes here in the Australian Football League and set up proper systems of justice to allow sort of, you know, what would be a fair and reasonable outcome to occur. Now, the BCCI don't have that. And until someone challenges in a court of law the fact that they've got no right of appeal, and essentially the BCCI is judge, jury and executioner at the moment, it's hard for things to change. But you know, there's a lot of interesting things going on in India at the moment with the Supreme Court, with Modi and with Mudgal and especially the Lotto Committee at the moment. I think we're going to see a lot more radical changes in BCCI sort of governance, which is what the focus of the Supreme Court is at the moment on that institution. And I think that's then therefore going to lead at some point in time to having sort of proper mechanisms for these things to be heard properly. But my take is unless Sri Santh either appeals in India to the Supreme Court, or maybe goes to International Court of Justice in Switzerland to raise his case, I can't see it being any real strong prerogative for the BCCI to do anything differently than what they've done now. But essentially their system is flawed and it needs somebody to challenge it.
So I suppose from Sri's perspective, then there may be some hope, would you say, with the changes post-Lodha committee version of the BCCI?
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't be backing that in too much. I think the Lodha committee is focused on a lot of things. I don't recall, and I'm following this fairly closely, that any of them have got to do with appeals for match fixing. In fact, the focus was more on making sure that they have the right people and independents listening to these type of cases. Because if you remember last time, you had Ravi Shastri, who was a BCCI employee, being asked to do a deep investigation into match fixing in the IPL, and amazingly came back and said, nothing to see here. But, where you've got those kinds of shenanigans going on, that's why you have the Lodha committee going on. But none of the Lodha committee or investigation or recommended changes is about setting up appeals processes for those that have been found guilty. I think their first problem is actually making sure they've got the right independence around trying those cases and giving it due process without conflicts of interest. So, I wouldn't be gambling my future playing career on what Lotta does if I was Sri Santh. I think he needs to step away from whatever loyalties or misguided information he has in his head about there might be a change there and actually just step it up. I think he actually has quite an easy case to argue at the International Court of Sport if he goes there, or even at the Supreme Court. I don't think it's hard to argue that he's being found guilty of something with no evidence presented to him, nothing presented publicly and no right of appeal. And that was a long time back, and it's still holding him up from being able to play in a Scottish team. None of that passes the sniff test.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that kind of Sri mentioned in his previous podcast that he did on Crick Index, and he mentioned more in this one, is that the situation for him is that he has always felt very loyal to the BCCI in terms of they gave him his chance in cricket. I mean, he's tweeted publicly many times that he feels he would be nothing without the BCCI, if you like. So Sri's always been very reluctant, from my dealings with him anyway, to challenge the BCCI on anything. And perhaps that kind of is maybe the underbelly of the issue you've just described about no formal appeal process, because they've just never felt they've had to. And I suppose if the players are on board to such an extent where someone that's been banned for almost 2 years is still is still if you're like reluctant to challenge them, then perhaps that's part of the problem.
It's kind of strange. You know? I reflect on the BCCI stance when Harbhajan got suspended by Mike Proctor for Monkeygate when he called Andrew Simons a monkey and, well, what did he say, Terahake or whatever he said, I can't remember the term. You know, they essentially threatened to leave Australia and abandon the tour unless there was a right of appeal, and then they had to go and sit in front of a New Zealand High Court judge, an independent party who had nothing to do with it. And that's when Sachin Tendulkar perjured himself and said that Harbhajan didn't say what he said. But that's another story. But I guess my point is that the BCCI, when it suited them in the past, has gone looking for appeals processes and used them successfully. Yet in this case, for whatever reason, they're choosing, A, to ignore the pleas from Sri Santh to actually have a hearing, and, B, they have no formal process, nor is there any sounding boards or out there or any noises being made that there should be one in the future for any reason.
Yeah, I suppose it's something that's going to rumble and rumble. And the kind of next thing on your agenda then is, I think you have Sri Santh on your show, Can't Bowl, Can't Throw, which is on Eon Sports Radio next week. He's going to be a guest on your show. You're looking forward to that?
Really looking forward to that. For your listeners who haven't discovered us, we are a live cricket show on Australian radio every week. It's 7 o'clock on a Tuesday, Melbourne and Sydney time, and we put that out as a podcast, the Can't Bowl, Can't Throw podcast, found in iTunes. I probably rank just below the Crick Index podcast, I'm sure, on the iTunes rankings.
I think you're being overly kind.
And we'll have Sri Santh on. We'll play a little segment with him called "Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grade Cricketer?" First, just to ease him into it, and then we'll have a fairly deep discussion about his thoughts on. I'm really keen to ask him why he hasn't gone the legal route to try and it's not even to clear his name, it's just to set up an opportunity for an appeal. He obviously has some strong belief that the BCCI is, if he takes them on, it could harm him in some way. But I think he's being a little bit naive personally, if that's what he thinks. By the time he actually goes through this process, you'll probably find two things. One, everybody that he thinks can harm him will be kicked out. They will no longer be in there. And number two, they might even change their mind and say, actually, you know what, let's raise the ban, or let's run an appeals process and let the Supreme Court handle it or something. But if Sri Santh doesn't make the move, I can't see the change coming. So I'm looking forward to sort of throwing those questions at him and see where his head's at.
Yeah, so everyone, that'll add a little bit more flesh to the bones on this one if you listen to Dennis and his show on Tuesday night. So we'll round off with Dennis Ayle. Thank him for his time, and I know it's late in Australia now, so we'll let him go and tuck up in bed, and we'll look forward to having Dennis back on the show in future. Thank you, Dennis.
Thanks, Eddie. I appreciate you having me, and looking forward to listening to the Crick Index podcast carry on for many years to come.
Impressive. Eddie, welcome to the Crick Index podcast.
Thanks for having me back, Amit.
Pleasure as always. Some really powerful stuff there from Dennis Friedman, Eddie. So where do things, you know, let's get straight to it. Where are things with the BCCI at the moment from as you see it? Because you are Sri Santh's UK associate, you know, director of Glenrothes Cricket Club, who Sri was hoping to play for this coming season. But he didn't get the NOC, permission, if you like, from the BCCI, even though there isn't an international ban, there is no ICC ban. So what is the latest from the BCCI?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I mean, it's one that's kind of been well-publicised, and Sri may wish to add some context to it as well. But we've been... Sri's kind of accepted, if you like, and just got on with his life over the past few years that the BCCI have this ban. And obviously there was this sort of carrot dangled halfway through last year about the Lauder Committee looking into the dealings and the business practices and the administration of the BCCI from top to bottom. And obviously a lot of rather nasty things have come out on the back of that. One of the positive things that Sri was hoping would come from that would perhaps be that a change of administration would see a different view on his own situation, particularly given, and let's not forget the most important thing of all here, that a high court in Delhi cleared Sri of any wrongdoing 2 years ago. Now, people may have their own opinions on the rights or wrongs of that, but they are the facts. Sri was cleared
of any wrongdoing in a court in Delhi almost 2 years ago. Now, where things are with the BCCI is quite simple, really. Sri wrote to them most recently back in December through his state, through Jayesh, who is the secretary of Kerala Cricket. And he received a very, very simple reply. I think it was about one sentence, and it read something like this. It was that as the player is serving a life ban, no NOC will be issued. So that was the BCCI. And Sri had sent them quite a detailed appraisal of everything and really outlined his position very clearly. But that was the reply. That was from MV Sridhar, who, those who don't know, is one of the general managers at the BCCI. It was copied into Ratnakar Shetty as well, who is the administration manager at the BCCI. Now, I've then, with Sri Sant, written to these two gentlemen four or five times, actually, since that email was received to Jayesh. And to date, they have ignored and not even acknowledged any of these emails. But if you dig beneath the surface a little bit and you look at these two individuals in particular, first of all, MV Sridhar, who's a former first-class cricketer, he should empathise with Sri Sant's situation. So I don't know what this chap has to hide. He's been called as part of the Loader Committee to resign from the BCCI. He's served, these two gentlemen have both been asked to resign by the Loader Committee. They've served 9 years with Hyderabad and Mumbai, respectively, that their time is done. So they're acting in contravention of a court order right now by staying at the BCCI. And the CEO, Rahul Jori, has, I think, alluded to that as well. So I don't know what's going on with these two guys. They're ignoring mails, but these are the two people that are making the decision on whether Sri Sant can play cricket or not. To me, that is absolutely outrageous. And MV Sridhar, in particular, as a former first-class cricketer, should be absolutely ashamed of himself.
Yeah, strong words there, Eddie, but you've shown me some of the correspondence as well, and it is quite jaw-dropping in that there is one thing to uphold whatever ban is in place or whatever the point of view of the BCCI is, but actually not to communicate that with you. And then that means that you don't have a route of, you know, an easy route of appeal, or where do you go to, you know, to have your case heard, if you like, you know, where's your day in court in this one? So it leaves you in a position where the only sort of road seems to be via the media to get your voice heard.
Yeah, that's very true. It's slightly deeper than that, though. Some media I've spoken to a lot of media over the past few weeks, and some media, including the biggest publisher in the world, who I won't name for obvious reasons, but they published the Sri Sant case. They spoke to Sri last week, but they're not interested in the fact that the BCCI are ignoring these communications. They've also seen the communications that you said yourself you found jaw-dropping. Some media have seen these, some haven't. The ones that have, and you'd expect they would take issue with that, but some have chose not to. So, at the behest of concern that the BCCI, I mean, there is talk that, and Sri, maybe it's worth asking Sri this himself. The some things I've heard during this whole palaver is that there is a concern that if the BCCI were to issue an NOC to Sri, then it would be a case of them admitting wrongdoing since the High Court ruling, at which case Sri may have a civil case against them for loss of earnings from the IPL and Team India. Now, anyone that knows Sri, and you can ask him this yourself once I stop speaking, but anyone that knows Sri knows that that isn't Sri. That's not who the person is. That's not going to happen. So anyone taken over at the BCCI, anyone involved in Loader that's going to be involved in the BCCI over the next few weeks, that's not Sri Sant, and he'll confirm that himself, I'm sure. So that's just a kind of set a tone there on what perhaps is the, maybe, we don't know, we're just guessing, because the BCCI won't communicate. They've never sent Sri a formal letter confirming his ban. The BCCI only communicate by press release. And as Dennis said, Dennis wrote quite eloquently in the past, the BCCI are a law unto themselves. They do not abide by they don't even abide by the laws of the land and the state, and they're not held accountable. And they're not held accountable by the ICC either, which I can chat about more in detail if required.
Well, let's go on to the ICC then, because you have had correspondence with the ICC, I believe, with Yugendra Bal Singh. Do you want to elaborate on that for us, Eddie?
Yeah, well, Yugendra is actually just leaving the ICC just now. I spoke to him originally 2 years ago, and he put me in touch with Neeraj Kumar, who is a former police chief in Delhi and was involved in Srisant's arrest back in 2013. And the confession that was extracted, shall we say, from Sri at the time. And Neeraj Kumar basically went down the route of saying that there's going to be more to come with this. The Delhi police will be challenging the ruling in the High Court. And everything was kind of left at that. So Yugendra at the ICC had put me onto that. Now, to add some context to who Yugendra is another former policeman. And he's also from Delhi. And he is the ICC, or he was in charge, if you like, of the ICC's anti-corruption unit. So really, these communications have never gone away from people either involved with the BCCI or involved or based in Delhi. So that's where we are. Now, Yugendra is resigning, and his replacement at the ICC is being sought. But what I've asked Yugendra, and I've been relayed to someone in the BCCI's legal team by the name of Sally Clark. Sally has not replied to me as of yet, so I'm hopeful that will come in due course. But the situation with the ICC is that they have a set of rules and regulations which effectively say that no player banned by any of their member boards may play in another international jurisdiction without an NOC, which to those wondering is a no objection certificate, allowing that player to play internationally, so, or overseas. So in Srisant's case, even though he has no contract with the BCCI, he has no ties to the BCCI. Effectively, by them having this ban on him, which has only ever been released in the media, and they've never confirmed the reasons for the ban or the appeal process, then the ICC are allowing the BCCI to effectively uphold this ban worldwide. So what should in theory be a domestic ban is actually a worldwide ban as a result of the governing body, as in the ICC, allowing the BCCI to act the way they have.
So just to clarify that, Eddie, so your understanding of the way the law is that if the BCCI, for whatever reason, want to ban Srisant, they can do domestically, but from an international point of view, so if he wants to play in the Big Bash or somewhere like that, even if he just wants to come to somewhere like Scotland to play, he should be allowed to because there is no ICC ban. Have I got it right?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, that's a big difference. I mean, Sri's Twitter has been quite manic over, and a lot of people compare his case to the one of the Pakistan players, such as Mohammed Amir and things. But they were banned by the ICC. They were found guilty in a criminal court. Sri has not been found guilty in a criminal court. In fact, his case was thrown out of a criminal court because it was one of the weakest cases they'd ever seen. So case thrown out, not guilty. And no ban by the ICC, but not allowed to play just because of a ban by the BCCI. Whereas on the contrary to that, you have Mohammed Amir, found guilty, served time in a juvenile detention centre in London, and never banned by his own board, so never banned by the PCB. Once his ICC ban ended, actually earlier than his ICC ban was scheduled, he's playing international cricket again, and everything's fine in his garden, shall we say. Whereas Sri, on the other hand, is subject to the ICC not willing to intervene. Surely the BCCI must have to at least clarify their appeal process if they intend to uphold this ban, which is affecting his whole livelihood in terms of cricket, even club cricket, never mind the Big Bash. He's basically being denied to travel and play club cricket as an amateur purely on a voluntary basis, so we're not even talking about livelihood here.
I was going to take you back to that, Eddie, in terms of, so as director of Glenrothes Cricket Club, when did you first come across Srisant? How did that happen? How did the friendship come about?
Sri and I met a few years ago. It was an event in London called the Titans of Cricket. It was actually broadcast on Sky TV here in the UK, and it was it had Andrew Flintoff involved, Marcus Truscothick, and I think Sri was part of the Indian team that took part in that. It was an indoor event at the O2 in London. I was one of the, my company at the time was one of the sponsors of that event, and just kind of at the sort of backstage sort of dealings after the show, Sri and I had a chat, kind of met each other and then sort of stayed in touch over the past few years, and we've been in touch lately we're in touch almost daily, but other than that I've just kind of followed Sri, and we just chat from time to time, and I kind of felt compelled on speaking with him to try and help him with this if I could, in the fact that I don't mean to sound like the beacon of justice or anything, but there is a lot of wrongdoing been done to this person, and more so even than cricket, that's a bigger thing here. That's a bigger issue here. He's been wronged, and he almost has no recourse of justice, and that to me just seems wrong.
So, have we got any clarification from Cricket Scotland's point of view? So, you know, you're there wanting Sri Santh to come to Scotland to play on a voluntary basis, some club cricket. You know, we're not talking international T20 cricket or anything like that. What's the position of Cricket Scotland from any communications that you've had with them?
Well, the background on it has always been that Sri and I have joked in the past, and we've kind of had our conversations in the time that once his ban is reduced, he'd love to come over to Scotland and have a season in the Scotland Premier League as part of his comeback. So that's kind of the background into why Glenrothes and why Scotland, because that's where I live and that's the club that I'm involved with. Cricket Scotland, in fairness, they have been communicative. Malcolm Cannon, who's the CEO of Cricket Scotland and his competitions administrator Ramsey Allen, have been communicative throughout the whole time. I first approached them 3 years ago regarding this, so just to confirm that indeed they would not allow the registration of Sri Santh on the back of his BCCI ban, which has stood firm and was since my most recent communications with them were only last week, and they're very helpful. They confirm all the guidelines that they have to abide by, and their ICC rules and regulations and rules from the ICC anti-corruption unit, and they state quite clearly, just as we've said earlier, that whilst a domestic ban from the BCCI applies, then Cricket Scotland would not allow a club in its jurisdiction such as Glenrothes to register the player. But in terms of Cricket Scotland, can't fault them. I mean, they're not really a player in this, because at the end of the day, they can't do anything, and they're unable to allow the club to register the player. So their hands are somewhat tied.
Good, Sri Santh, let's bring yourself back in. Sri, what are your next steps then? So, Dennis Friedman is very clear in that he doesn't think that any changes, post Loader committee in the BCCI is going to have any effect on anything. Are you still hopeful? What's your next step? How do you feel about the situation?
No, I must first of all thank Eddie, because he's been very helpful and motivating me and all that. Thank you. And I was a bit emotional now, because nobody in India is supporting as much as a Scottish guy is supporting me, and you guys are really, really helping me. So, I really hope it makes a difference. So I am really hopeful. A lot of people really, really want me to play again. And the way I am bowling, I think I totally deserve. And he spoke about, Mohammad Amir as well. So it's absolutely, I'm on the same page, because he's been guilty. He's been, people keep comparing, and it hurts, because I should not be compared with him. He's guilty and he's been punished. I am not guilty. I'm completely off, but still I'm getting ill-treated, in maybe more than a terrorist. And I shouldn't even be using this word, but it's more than livelihood. I say the respect, the pride which I had playing, and the respect from a small kid when I go to an academy or a school. There is so much to cricket, even after cricket. So I sometimes really feel bad the way I'm getting treated, and but then there is no point of me playing a blaming game. So I told myself that I am just going to focus on my fitness, start bowling again, start playing a lot of practice matches. It's my ground, so no one can stop me. Keep playing, and God willing, if everything gets sorted, as you said earlier, now this Loader committee surely will come into effect, because today I think there are lots of reforms happened today. And I am surely going to approach them from next week. Whoever was in power is absolutely nowhere now. So I better start fresh. It might take a couple of weeks, maybe a month, but I will not give up. I will make sure, as Eddie said very clearly about it, I've been treated really very badly for a 2 World Cup winner, and I was fortunate to be a part of the test rank number 1 when we became rank number 4 the first time. So why would I waste my cricketing years like this? I really hope I don't really get what will happen to BCCI if I go and play in Scotland. What will happen? I don't get it. I am just in one way I'm helpless, because as Eddie said clearly and everybody knows, as BCCI I am Srishant. I played cricket because of Kerala Cricket Association, or I should say my district, Ernakulam District Cricket Association. They all are under BCCI. So I respect the BCCI throughout. And Eddie first itself said, for me, I am not going to go against the BCCI and try and put them in the court, make money out of it. No, what is gone is gone. I want to play cricket and fresh again, start it all over again from the scratch. I have to play club cricket, perform there. I am not saying put me in the Indian team, I want to play the World Cup. No, I will prove my mettle, and if I am good enough, I myself will be available for selection. So what is wrong, and what guarantee that I'll get selected? At least allow me to start my academy, allow me to start using my ground, my facilities. And there are so many youngsters, even for a Kerala state, we are nowhere in Ranji Trophy now. I would love to help my youngsters. Everybody's in touch, but I want to be in the ground playing with them. Even with Glenn Rothes, it's a great opportunity for me. I saw Safian bowling the other day in a match, and he's been signed by Glenn Rothes, and he's such a great talent. He's a world-class bowler. And I would love to work with him. I would love to work with a lot of youngsters and pass the message. I was fortunate enough to play with a lot of legends like Tendulkar, to Ponding, to a lot of people. So whatever I have learned, whatever humble experience I have, I would love to share it and pass it on. Cricket is bigger than anybody. So I really hope BCCI gives me permission. If a person who is guilty and been punished and accepted can play international, and as he rightly said, Eddie rightly said, in his garden is full of flowers. I don't even have a garden, so I really hope I get to play. I'm just hoping for the best.
Sri, you said that last time we spoke as well, you were very respectful of the BCCI, because you said that the BCCI gave you the chance to play for the national team, to fulfill all your childhood dreams when you put on the blue jersey of India. A year on now, and the way the BCCI are with all the Lodha Committee, with all their battle in the Supreme Court, with the Lodha Committee recommendations and all this kind of business, is your attitude changed slightly in that, yeah, fair enough, you're not looking for compensation or anything like that of the years lost, but are you willing to go against the BCCI in court now to say, you know what, I have to demand my justice and go forward like that?
To be very honest with you, I will wait for a bit, because whoever was in power is no more. I shouldn't abuse, or I should not go against an association because of certain reasons. I will wait, because everything is reformed, and I really hope the new administration, whoever is administrators, I'll go meet them in person. I will rest my case with them, and then let's see what their decision. If I have to go to the worst, I think I might go, and not for defamation or anything, but I will file a case against my ban so that I win the ban and not waste my cricketing career, not waste my cricketing years. So if I'm not allowed to play at least club cricket, and the best part, I must say this, Amit, I still haven't received a ban letter. Then how can they say I have banned? Even now with Scotland cricket, even to play for Glenn Rothes, they are not given me a ban letter. Then why do I need an NOC? Why? They are answerable to everything. They are not even responding. I have been sending emails from the time my case got over. They are not responding whatsoever. They are responding to my association. Why can't they respond to me? There is no postal letter which has been given. My emails, no black and white letter is given to my association or my club or my district cricket association stating that Srishant cannot play and he's banned. Yes, they did give me a suspension letter, black and white, in 2013 when I was in jail. When the suspension got over, they banned me for life on TV and papers, but not on black and white written letter. And any order which is under the law, if it is passed anywhere in the world, it has to come in effect in 90 days, which didn't happen. It's been more than almost 2 years now when it comes to July 25th. My case got over in 2015. It's going to be 2017. It is already 2017. I'm sorry. Yeah. So see, I have lost count because I am so helpless that I don't have a ban, but they have a so-called ban by words, but not in paper. So even if I go to court, what do I say in court?
And he gave your thoughts on what Shree's saying there.
Well, there's clearly a legal precedent here. As long as the BCCI continue to ignore him, I totally understand what Sri's saying, and it's again respectful to the BCCI, as Sri has been all along. There's no doubt about that. He's been very respectful to the BCCI, probably in my opinion too respectful, but he has his reasons for that. It's his life, it's his career, so he has to make those decisions. There is a legal case, undoubtedly. I've spoken to sports lawyers. Sri's spoken to sports lawyers. There's a case of jurisdiction. It probably has to take place in India to start with. The BCCI would have to be challenged if they continue to reject the NOC, and obviously these things take time. Sri doesn't have a lot of time on his hands, so it totally makes sense to see and plead, if you like, with a reformed BCCI, which we expect within the next couple of weeks. Hopefully Messrs. Sridhar and Shetty will be no more. Maybe even one day their reasons for their ignorance and arrogance on this case will come to light, because we don't know what they are. So potentially the change at the BCCI, even if it's like what Dennis said, even if it's not a direct correlation to the work and the remit of the Loader Committee, it will still be, as Sri says, a new body of people. So let's only hope that the work that's being done in the media, the things like this podcast that we're recording here today, will help Sri's situation, and we may see a more favourable humanitarian, if you like, that looks at Sri's case once the, and at least right replies, even if not to issue the NOC, at least confirm the appeal process, at least confirm the evidence that led to the ban of Srisanth, because that has never been done. So really, that's the upshot of it. But right through the courts, I mean, an Indian sports lawyer would be the first stage. But I think Sri will tell you himself, he intends to play cricket again. So whilst he's being respectful to the BCCI, if this had to go all the way to the Court of Arbitration for Sport in Switzerland, then that's where it will go. It's up to the BCCI and the ICC if they want to be involved in that process. But at some stage, they're going to have to. So I call on them both to listen, because they're going to have to get involved in this process at some time. They could make all this go away very quickly. But that's their decision.
A question to both of you is that, how have your initial meetings and things been going with the lawyers and so on, or, you know, with legal representatives of various companies, as to what kind of case you have? Do you feel you're in a position of strength?
Well, some of the points that Sri made are the case, because there is no case. That's the simplicity of it. You know what I mean? There's not a lot of foundation that has to be generated here, because the facts are the facts and they're crystal clear. And that's how the law works. The law works to a large extent on black and white, and that doesn't exist in this case. So the discussions with the lawyers have been very positive. The only reason that things are on hold right now is a matter of jurisdiction and a matter of Sri being continuing to be respectful to the BCCI. So it's one of those things that, as I say, it would have to start in India. I mean, the Scottish sports lawyers that we've spoken to, the lawyers in Zurich in Switzerland, at this stage, the advice is to go through the Indian process. So we'll see. Let's let the BCCI reforms take place within the next couple of weeks. If need be, Sri will write to the BCCI again when we get a new name to replace either Sridhar or Shetty. And then from that process, we take it forward and see what the BCCI has to say.
Sri, so at the moment, your position is that you are going to wait until the dust settles on the reshuffling and the reorganisation of the BCCI, see who's in power at that stage, take your case once again to the BCCI to say reconsider the situation, and then if everything falls on deaf ears, so you don't hear anything, you know, you haven't got that much time to waste, and then along with Eddie, you're prepared to fight through the courts.
I know there's not much time, but then I will wait. Not so long, but I will wait for a bit. I will surely go meet them in person, because for me, as I said earlier, I respect the association more than anything else. And just because of few administrators, I should not go against an association. So I want to get a clear picture. One more thing I want to say here is, I haven't told Eddie also, which I have only decided like a couple of hours back, that I can tell the whole world, I am actually going to play my next league match in Kerala for my club. The decision which I want to do is to play for my club. I really want to know, how can an umpire, who I call or any cricketer calls, sir, stop me from playing that match without a letter?
So is this breaking news then, Sri, in that you're going to play for your first
game? I am surely going to go. That's on the February.
For Kerala.
But I really hope I get to get the NOC and fly to Scotland and be in Scotland and play there in this summer and perform really well, because England cricket or English cricket or English cricket has really helped me to be where I am. So on a personal note, I spoke to my lawyers here. They said, you don't have a ban. How can you say you are banned? You don't have a letter in your hand which says you are a banned. So why are you not playing cricket for the last 3 years? I don't understand. Srishant, you should just go to the ground and play and see if the umpire stops you. How can the umpire stop you without valid point, which is a written letter from the association? How can the Kerala Cricket Association ban me from playing without getting a letter from BCCI? How can the BCCI ban me without making the ban official by writing a letter?
Who have you spoken to, Sri, at the Kerala Cricket Association to
I spoke to the Secretary, Mr. Jayesh.
Yes.
I haven't told the association that I'm playing. Now, this is the first person in public that I've told, which Eddie is more like a family to me now. So, this is the first person, even though it's a recorded call. I don't mind telling this, because I am going to play on the February 18th and 19th. It's my league game for my own club. I am going to go in the ground with my whites and I'm going to play the league match. If I get stopped, yes, give me the letter. Otherwise, match will continue and I will play and there won't be any ban. And I'll be on the next flight to Scotland.
Fantastic. And that's some development. That's definitely action is being taken. Eddie, your thoughts there?
Well, we speak every day, but he didn't tell me that one.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry, Eddie. Moving to my God's grace, my dream house in a couple of days' time. And I was at the puja and I was doing this traditional, the Hindu way of, the religious stuff. And I don't know, something tell me, the inner voice. And I said, there is no letter. Then who can stop me from playing?
Yeah, I suppose in some ways, and
I said, if they have to stop me, they will have to write me a letter and give that, Srishant, you are banned. Then I can go against them in the court. But now, if I go to the court, what do I tell the court about BCCI? I don't have an email, which is a ban. I don't have a reply from the association. I only have mails, which I have sent to the association saying, lift my ban. But where is the ban?
Yeah, so far, you're almost in a situation where going to play that game, it's like, well, you're almost saying, somebody stop me. You know what I mean?
Because I've become so desperate to play cricket. If I am banned, give me the letter in writing and say, Srishant, you are banned for life. You are not allowed in this ground. You are not allowed to play cricket. Give me the letter. So I will only tell the umpire, give me the letter. If you don't want me to play, let the Kerala Cricket Association or my district cricket association give me a letter stating you cannot play.
Srisanta, I must advise you though that just because you're available for selection doesn't mean you'll be selected. You know, there are a lot of good fast bowlers in the Kerala team.
I'll be very honest, Amit. Right now, I'm not nothing bossing around, but the way I'm bowling and the way I am, in fact, hitting a couple of long ones. So I think I am, even now as we speak, I should be the best fast bowler. If not one among the best, if not the best in the country right now.
It's good to hear. And obviously, I'm only joking around. I'm sure the the Kerala team would love to have you on board.
But I was not joking. I'm very serious.
you're in good shape. You've got the natural outswing.
I've got the late swing. In fact, when the case got over, I wasn't playing much cricket. And I was not really bowling well. And I told myself, unless until I lose my weight I get that late swing, I should not be on the ground. So I worked hard on my fitness. I started bowling fast again. And the speed gun, which obviously I have my own speed gun. So in the normal speed gun, which shows 140 plus, so I hope on a very good wicket, I should be able to clock the way I used to clock, 145s and 150s, hopefully.
Fantastic. Well, Eddie, the precedence has been set there. If Srisanth ends up playing for the Kerala team, then Cricket Scotland would have no objection, surely? You'd assume? Because the precedent has been set.
It's slightly different. I mean, Sri's talking about playing for his club. He's not talking about playing first-class cricket for Kerala.
No, only club, only club.
Yeah, so it's a little bit different. And at the end of the day, it's a statement. Sri's looking to make a statement. That's his right. Everything he says is true. And as a person, that's his right to sort of challenge this ban. And let's see if anyone from the BCCI shows up on the 18th of February and asks him not to play. Like Sri says, I don't think any umpires will be turning around and telling him he's not to play. What sanctions his club could face, I have absolutely no idea. But the way the BCCI communicate, who knows?
You know, I have seven clubs and three club plays in the edition, so one can get banned, no problem.
So there you go. But I don't think it changes anything, should we say, in terms of Sri's challenging his ban, and he's challenging it publicly at that point. But Cricket Scotland's statute shall certainly still need an NOC from the BCCI as things stand.
Yep.
But it's a decisive statement from Srisanth there that you've all heard it on the Cricket Index podcast. And it sets, if you do end up playing, which we hope you do, it sets a precedent. And
I'm ready to face the consequences, because nothing worse can, I shouldn't be saying it online, but nothing worse could happen than a jail, which I went that to Tihar jail, which is the worst thing that could happen to a human being. And I went through that for 27 days, and it was not hell. Maybe it was worse than hell. So I've already faced the worst, and my dad went through a couple of attacks and open heart surgeries, and my family went through a lot of things. I went through a lot of things, so I am ready to face anything and everything. So I am just telling the world, there is nobody knows. Every BCCI official I've been telling on TV and press, Srisanth is banned for life, Srisanth is that, Srisanth is this. If you got anything against me, show it live on TV that Srisanth has done it. Show it. What do you have which the court doesn't have? Then if you have something like that, then why don't you give me in writing, Srisanth, you cannot come onto the ground or play, which is the Indian law. Not just Indian law. Anywhere in the world, the law says you got to give it in writing. If I'm suspended, give it me in writing. If I'm banned, give me in writing. A man without a license goes in the road. I'm just saying a small example. A cop catches him, asks for license. He says, yeah, I have a license. Yes, it's at home. Will that affect? Will the cop stop you, or will the cop... What do you do there?
We understand your sentiments there, Sri. We're going to wrap it up there, guys. I think that's a good show. And Sri, thank you for your candid and frank comments. We wish you well. You know, honestly, for myself as well, we wish you well. I hope to see you back in the cricket whites. You're a good character, and it's good for cricket. For Indian cricket.
I'll send you the video once I bowl the first ball on a club match. The most controversial club match of the century, maybe.
Indeed, and it's peculiar. It's peculiar times that we live in, when the High Court of Delhi can say that this is the truth, yet the BCCI and media and whoever else can say no, that's not the case. This is the case.
So, and just before you wrap it up, I just want to say this, because one more thing. I don't really, I have not said anything much on that. Is see, I've keep telling my friends and family, if I'm guilty, put me in the jail. Don't give me a life. You know, I keep telling this. I say, if you find me guilty, and I the best friend of mine is my dad, and when my dad went through what he went through, and which I saw, I just hope, nothing like this could happen, because I want to play cricket again to show. Not just to bowl 140 or 150 or get wickets and get 100 test wickets or 200 test wickets. I want to play that one game for my family and for me to show not just that I'm good enough, but I'm here to not make a statement to anybody but my family. Nothing else.
because on Twitter, on Facebook, or any social sites, a lot of people still abuse me. Out of 100%, maybe 90% support me, there is this 10% who is like, you are a match fixer, you are done this. You know, they come after me as if I am the worst thing that could happen to the world. But all I can say to all of these people who's been talking against me, I come from a family where I used to be called, I still remember, I used to have white line fever. The moment I crossed that white line, I never used to even listen to the captain. And that's a fact. Dhoni has said that in so many times in public. And how can I take an offer from somebody who is a nobody to me for a, what, 10 lakh rupees? When I used to come and party in England, I used to spend more than 3,800 pounds a night, or maybe 4,000 pounds a night to party. So when it comes to that, they were accusing me of something that too on cricket. And anybody, I've been accused of giving 14 runs, which a lot of people know. Four balls, five runs were given. I want to ask the whole world, even if I'm bowling at 90 kilometer per hour, will you be able to hit the next two balls to the boundary? I really don't get it. And I haven't bowled a slower ball. I haven't bowled a no ball. I haven't bowled a wide. It's very strange. I have not told this on in public. So I just want the cricket lovers to actually, you know, see that over once again and touch their heart and say that Srishant did it. Trust me, 100% of people will say he's not done it, because the way I bowled and I was coming out of surgery, I have steel rods in both my big toes. I have six surgeries. I did that in London hospital. So if I have steel rod on my both the big toes, through titanium nails through my bones. I played all that with the pain. And a guy like that who's trying to make a comeback to the national squad to play, go to South Africa, September, October series, will do some stupid thing like that? Is that serious?
Indeed.
It's
very true. I mean, somebody that's got the accolades, you know, people from your state haven't represented the country many times. You're a unique person from that angle. You've won the World Cup twice. Why would you be there doing this kind of, for what you were saying yourself is, in cricketing terms, in the modern age, is small money. Why would you be putting your career at risk?
And on the funny side is, when I do a stage show, I get 25 lakhs for an appearance. Why wouldn't I just go to a stage show rather than bowl one bad over, which will affect my career? If I give one more than 10 runs, it will affect me in the next selection. So I have always tried to give my best to every single ball. Even in training, I don't make friends even in the nets.
Yeah, no, we understand you, Sri. And thank you again. Really appreciate your thoughts.
Thank you very much. And Eddie, thanks a lot. Really appreciate it. And thanks for doing this for me. And I really hope this podcast, the way you really guys helped me the last year, I really hope this, you know, I've been listened to a lot of people. And I really hope they, you know, they can't do anything. But yeah, at least pray for me and my family to be strong and keep going.
That's it, all you Srisant fans out there. Like us on Facebook. get sharing the video on Twitter, sharing the podcast, and let's get it out there into the public domain. Eddie Gibbs, once again, director of Glenrothes Cricket Club. Thank you for your thoughts.
Thank you, Amit.
Great, so a very emotional Srisant there, and we'll catch you again on the next Crick Index podcast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.